Hello, everyone. This is Thomas Logan from Equal Entry, here with Ken Nakata of Converge Accessibility. In this episode of Accessibility Insights, we're talking about the new Colorado SB 205 bill, which is about artificial intelligence and making sure that that's inclusive and available to everyone. Right now, this is a very new idea. Not many people are talking about it. So let's start off, Ken. What are the laws? What's happening in this space?
Thanks, Thomas. There are two laws that are popping up. They almost happen simultaneously. One happened on May 17th, Friday. That was the first one. That was Colorado SB 205. And that one is titled Concerning Consumer Protections and Interactions with Artificial Intelligence Systems. That one focuses mostly on what they call high-risk AI systems, which means AI systems where artificial intelligence can be a substantial factor in making a decision about certain categories of transactions, such as employment opportunities or educational opportunities. It gives a short list of those things. It's also things like insurance applications, pretty much the kinds of things that in society that we apply for but don't necessarily have any guarantee that we're going to receive. And that law focuses on what they call potential algorithmic discrimination and puts some safeguards around preventing that kind of algorithmic discrimination. And also it requires that in Colorado that people who are deploying these kinds of systems inform people from the public that they're being subjected to one of these systems because they might not know it. Just a few days later, in the EU passed a new regulation around artificial intelligence, and their system is quite a bit broader than Colorado because it doesn't cover just high-risk AI systems. It covers basically any application of AI, but then develops a what they consider a risk-based analysis or a risk spectrum that categorizes some things as high-risk, some things as super high risk and are just prohibited, and some things that are relatively low risk. And in the EU model, the number of safeguards that you have to take to make sure that discrimination isn't occurring is really dependent upon the level of risk. And in the EU system, generally, the high risk systems would be pretty much the same kinds of things that are covered as high risk in Colorado. There are certain cases of prohibited use, which are at a super high risk, and I can't think of all the examples, but those are things where you're using AI to specifically figure out whether a person is a person with a disability or a person is a minority, and then using that to target them for something else. So those are the two laws that popped up, and each one claims to be the first, although I think technically Colorado was first.
Let's give them their dues, and also let's critique what they're doing, right? Some of the problems that can happen are artificial intelligence can learn certain best practices or certain observations based off of the data that it's trained on. So one example could be training accidentally a focus on learning that people are disabled from looking at the universities that they attend. Gallaudet and Rochester Institute of Technology are both universities that support and have enrolled a lot of people with disabilities. This could become a flag for an AI system, even if they didn't mean to deterministically say it's not a reason to hire someone. It just might happen via the AI system. Ken, what do you think about these things can just happen? From data observations of tech and what the end result of AI is, it's not a human passing a judgment. It's a computer saying, oh yeah, the people that get hired from this university often have a disability and need accommodation.
Yeah, that's a great question, Thomas. The great thing about AI is that it's a black box and it can find patterns that human beings can't. The bad thing about AI is that it's a black box, and so we can't really see inside of it to figure out how it's making its determinations. An example is that we were thinking about was, I think, the college essay example, where AI might be evaluating a writing sample or a college essay that somebody puts into their college application. And it may be screening those people out before a human being ever gets to see it. And that can have obvious and huge impact on someone who, say, for instance, English is not their first language, or it could tend to target people who use ASL as their first language. In both of those cases, it may have this insidious effect of discriminating against people with disabilities.
I also think we need to think in 2024 that we live in a current world where almost everyone knows that technologies like ChatGPT exists. Many people use ChatGPT to produce their college essay, right? If you're using ChatGPT also to reject people using it, you're having this place where the AI is working on both sides, and we don't really know what's going to happen. So I think that AI might highlight discrimination in a way that's not even easily to observe or understand for the people who are using these systems. It just happens as a byproduct of using the technology. What do you think?
Exactly, Thomas. That's exactly right. Again, the beautiful thing about AI and the worst thing about AI is that it's a black box, and we can't attribute any kind of motive or intent to an AI system or to a user or someone who's deploying an AI system, because it may be discriminating against people and we won't even know it. I can't help but think about another analogous example in the law, which is what we call facially neutral discriminatory policies that have a discriminatory effect. And the example of using college writing samples, for instance, the one that we mentioned earlier, is of direct parallel to a Supreme Court case from 1976, Washington versus Davis, where some applicants to the District of Columbia Police Academy were being passed over based upon their writing skills in a written portion of the examination. And at the time, and this is again back in the 70s, where there's still lingering effects of discrimination in schools, that system tended to screen out applicants who were black because they didn't have the same educational opportunities that other applicants did. So it's kind of funny that now we're coming full circle, and now we're dealing with an AI system that could be having exactly that same effect.
By the term facially neutral, do you mean that if in that time period you would actually like meet them face to face, you would actually see their face, you'd see they were black, that you would judge them by their face?
No, it doesn't quite mean that. What it means is that the policy is facially neutral. The policy is simply, what are your writing skills like on a test? And that's a very loaded question in some regards, because when you're just evaluating a person's writing skills, well, that is obviously dependent upon their educational opportunities that they had. And those educational opportunities might be much more limited for somebody who was black in the 1970s than it would be for somebody who wasn't black in the 1970s. So it tended to screen out people who were black candidates because they didn't have as many opportunities to develop their writing skills when they were in grade school and in high school. So that's what I mean by facially neutral.
By facially neutral, do you mean there is a process to make sure that you never saw their face and you only observed them via text output, for example?
Facially neutral is not literally a person's face. Facially neutral in this context means something that on its surface doesn't reveal any kind of discriminatory intent. And that's the simple writing test. It sounds like a neutral test. It sounds like it should be equal to anybody regardless of their race. But when you actually apply it, it tended to screen out people who were black. And so it was actually discriminatory. And that is exactly the same thing I could imagine happening if you're a college applicant who uses ASL for 9/10 of your communication. So if you're deaf, for instance, and you're using a college essay and the writing skills that are evident in a college essay to figure out whether you're going to go to the next level of a college application process or you're just going to get screened out right there, that seems to me almost like a direct parallel to Washington versus Davis, except that this time it would be the AI that's doing the cut. And arguably, the AI, yes, it's facially neutral because it's just looking at whether the sentences have the right sentence structure, but ultimately the effect would be discriminatory.
To think for the future, what's a good way to use AI technology? Is there a way to take advantage of the benefits? How can we also take advantage of the benefits, but be aware of this? Any ideas for how it could be used more effectively, where people can take advantage?
That's also a great question, Thomas. And I think that that's really what these laws are trying to address. I mean, AI gives us so many opportunities, and I think really advances the ball in science and so many other areas. But we still need to be cognizant of some of the risks that are involved. And especially when the AI systems are being used to make these big, important decisions that really do affect people's lives. So I could tell you that both sets of legislation are pretty comprehensive. I'm not going to claim to be an expert on the EU law or the Colorado law, but more so I'm not going to claim to be an expert on the EU law because it's 419 pages long. But I will say that both laws try to put some safeguards around the use of AI. So this means things like, if you notice that there is a discriminatory effect or potentially a discriminatory effect, you have to take active steps to address it. If a deployer of an AI system suspects that there is a potential for an AI system to have this algorithmic discrimination, then you're supposed to take certain safeguards to prevent those from happening in the first place. And I think the two interesting things that we haven't talked about, I'll mention one highlight of the Colorado law is that it requires deployers to let people know when an AI system is being used to make a decision about whether a person is going to continue to the next step. And one advantage of the EU system is that if a system has a potential for causing discrimination on the basis of disability, that elevates it to a higher level of risk. So just by the fact that it may affect screen out people who with disabilities means it's a higher risk system. With that said, I also think that a lot of this is really, really difficult, and it may be inadequate because it is requiring us to really look at discrimination after it may have already occurred. And it makes it really, really hard to say, oh yeah, the reason why I was screened out was probably because of AI. Again, because it's just a big black box. Both laws fortunately do allow you to contest a result or seek redress if a person feels that they've been screened out because the AI improperly excluded them. But I'm a bit of a pessimist when it comes to that, as I just really can't see a lot of people complaining about that because they're not going to be able to prove that the system discriminated against them, again, because AI is a black box.
That's why we're doing this podcast, right? We're trying to educate. Let's continue the conversation. If you really feel something from what you heard today, please share your thoughts and feelings in the comments below. We will listen to you and respond to you and learn from you. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you in our next episode.